From NPR News, this is News in No Time at Gordon. When it comes to contentious issues like race relations, same-sex marriage, or family values, no high-ranking politician is more outspoken than Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania. The number three Republican in the U.S. Senate is one of the most conservative officials in his party. He's currently promoting the summer release of his book, It Takes a Family, Conservatism and the Common Good. Senator Santorum says his book is an attempt to lay out a common sense vision for helping the poor.
One of the things that that I've been active on in my time in the Congress and in the Senate are issues like welfare reform, the faith-based initiative, charitable giving, increasing charitable giving to nonprofit organizations, enterprise zones, empowerment communities, things that are, I would argue, sort of new visions for how we help those who are, you know, on the margins of society, and, you know, trying to lay out additional ideas on how we can help, you know, transform those neighborhoods and those individuals into stronger neighborhoods and, you know, more successful individuals. And when I started doing that, I recognized that at the root, at least from my perspective, at the root of what is now generational poverty in the inner city in particular, was the breakdown of the family.
You have taken a lot of criticism in terms of some of what is in the book, most specifically your suggestion that parents should cut back on work. Some will suggest that that is, and you've read it more often than I have, outside of the mainstream, that you're out of touch, that that's not realistic for many people in our society today. What do you say to those critics?
Well, I would say that for some in society, it's not. I mean, if you're a single mom and you got to put bread on the table, I understand that. And in fact, I read a whole section of the book about being more, you know, the importance of single moms working and the importance of the government having a system in place to be very supportive of those single moms. And I also talk about low-income families and how, in many cases, you know, both parents have to work. But I make the argument, even among lower-income individuals, that it's vitally important for parents to parent in a society today that is not as nurturing and supportive of parents and raising their children as it was 40 or 50 years ago, and that we need to make sure that we value parenting as much as we do value, you know, being a lawyer or a doctor or a store clerk.
There's a tremendous outreach being led by Ken Melman, who we've had on the program, to reach out to black voters. Why do you believe that black America has not embraced the Republican Party?
Well, obviously, for over a century, they did. You know, if you were an African American, by and large, in America from, you know, 1860 to the early 1950s or maybe 1940s, you were a Republican. And that changed. Maybe in many respects, Republicans took the black community for granted. And now I believe the shoe's on the other foot. I think the Democrats are taking the black community for granted. And this is an opportunity for us to reshift again and show that the values that we are putting forward will work better for that community. And, you know, that's why one of the reasons I wrote this book, one of the reasons on the back cover of the book is an African-American family, because I believe very, very clearly that the values of building stronger families are absolutely in sync with where everyone I talk to in the African-American community believes that community needs to go again. It needs to rebuild the African-American family, and we can't do that unless we have policies, programs, and the like from government as well as a culture that is changing the tune that is being sung right now in that community.
Yet there are so many programs, I think about affirmative action at the front end of that, that black America will say is under attack, in particular by conservatives and the Republican Party. And they say that message that you just delivered does not jive with the actions that they see when gains, many people think of the voting rights extension, are looked to be.
This is the straw man that the left elevates. Somehow or another that, you know, the Republicans are against the Voting Rights Act. That's just crazy. I mean, you know, what the Democrats are doing, they're fighting the old battles of the civil rights era of 1960, and most African Americans understand this is just the politics of race, that it gets nowhere anymore today. That battle was fought. That battle was won. Some Republicans were on the right side. Some were on the wrong side. More Republicans, by the way, voted for the Voting Rights Act, voted for the Civil Rights Act than Democrats did.
And what's your thought of affirmative action then?
Well, affirmative action, to me, is an old battle. I mean, I talk about that in this book. I mean, affirmative action is on its way out in most areas. I mean, we still have it in place. But again, I think that there are more systemic things that are more important to the African-American community, such as rebuilding the traditional family, such as rebuilding safe neighborhoods and creating opportunities in those neighborhoods, than a government set-aside program for 5% of contracts. Now, I'm not saying I oppose that, and I haven't opposed
it. But you understand that affirmative action...
Let me finish. The bottom line is...
I just want to make sure that we're under the same understanding here, Senator. Forgive me, but you understand that African Americans see affirmative action as far bigger than set-asides and the 5% set-aside that you suggested there. It's a much broader issue and topic for African Americans.
Yeah, I know it is for some African Americans, and I understand that the issue of affirmative action has a lot of connotation to it. But when it comes to government programs, that's what affirmative action, by and large, is. It is a set of preferences and set asides. Mm-hmm. And so my point is that what we need to do is focus on things that have greater impact in the African American community than a handful of government programs that benefit a very small number of African Americans. And so my point is that not that I'm against those things, and in fact in the book I talk about my support for them. But when you focus on those things, you miss what I consider to be the bigger picture here. And the bigger picture is that the African American community, and particularly in the inner city, is we need a program and we need a policy, both from a government as well as community based, to be able to address some of the more systemic problems there.
All right. I would just beg to differ with the idea of greater impact than affirmative action. I think that would be a hard road to go down with most African Americans, that you'd find many things greater than the impact of affirmative action through the years.
I would say out of wedlock birth rate in the African American community, going from 20% to 75% has had bigger impact on a negative impact than the positive impact of affirmative action.
The idea that some paint you as, and here's a title, I don't know if you accept it or not, compassionate conservative. Do you accept that title?
Or
is that just something that the media has made up?
It's one of the nicer things they say about me in the media. All I would suggest is that many conservatives took the line that the government has no role in dealing with a lot of these. They took a more Goldwater-ish libertarian point of view when it comes to the interaction of government in people's lives. And I think to the detriment of the country, and that is that they took the position that if government just simply stayed out, that would be neutrality on part of the government. And the problem is that government didn't stay out, and we offered no ideas of how to reframe these policies so that they would be more family-friendly, more supportive of traditional values and culture.
You've been pretty upfront in your stance about same-sex marriages and homosexuality, and I'm curious whether or not you expected the kind of heat that you've received. And secondly, I'm wondering if you can explain the statement that you're not against homosexuals, but you're against homosexual acts. I don't know how you differentiate the two.
I don't know why that needs to be explained.
Well, I'm not sure how you differentiate the two. It's almost like saying...
Well, then you don't have a basic understanding.
That's what I'm trying to get you to get me to, your basic understanding of it.
When you have a friend of yours who does something that you don't like, does that mean mm-hmm. you don't like your friend?
I guess it depends on what they do.
Oh, I guess it depends on what they do. But yeah, I mean, if they do... But my point is... Most people have things with respect to people they know that they do things that they don't approve of and they think is wrong. Does that mean that they don't like that person or think that person's a bad person? Well, of course not. And that's the problem I have with the left, and that is that they cannot separate a position on an issue with the individual involved in that issue. And that's not a very good basis for public mm-hmm. policy discussion. And so when I say that I don't approve of certain behavior, whatever that behavior is, does not mean that I dislike this person or that I condemn this person. It simply means that from a public policy point of view, this is not the kind of behavior that I think the government should nurture and support. It's very easy in my mind to separate, as I do on a daily basis, my disagreements with people on the other side of the aisle with my feeling toward them personally. I think civility is lost when you cannot separate, and you do not separate, or you choose not to separate an intellectual debate about a particular course of conduct with the feelings that you have or the respect that you give to a particular individual who exhibits that conduct.
But you understand the concern that may be raised when it is said that you've equated same-sex marriage with bestiality.
Yeah, but again, read the comment and you will find that is wholly inaccurate. And
that's why I'm bringing it up with you, so you can clarify that for us.
No, I appreciate that, and it's wholly inaccurate what I said, and I was commenting on a United States Supreme Court case when I talked about how the court, this was before the Lawrence versus Texas decision, could, and they eventually did, change the standard for the right to privacy to a standard that said consenting adults basically can do whatever they want, period. That's pretty much what the court said. And I said, if that is the new standard, then it would be hard for the court to limit, and I listed a whole bunch of other sexual activities. Mm-hmm. By the way, that logic was a logic that was used by Justice White in deciding the previous case having to do with sexual conduct back in 1986, where that was in the majority. The majority said that we weren't going to give this right to consensual activity because it would lead to polygamy and a whole host of other things. Justice Scalia, in his dissent, used the same logic that I use. And in fact, polygamists have sued under the versus Texas decision, seeking equality under the law. A reporter inserted some words in a quote that I gave that were not in the quote that could lead people to believe that I thought otherwise. But even with the insertion, I would make the argument that I still don't compare one with the other.
Mm-hmm. All right. That was our opportunity to clear that up. The Supreme Court, John Roberts, so many people obviously taking a look at this nominee. You have before advocated the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and so many people are looking to whether or not this should be dealt with, whether or not we should hear what this nominee believes in relation to not only Roe v. Wade, but a number of opinions. I'm wondering what your thought is there.
No, I don't think it's proper to ask a judge how he's going to judge a case in the future of the court. And, you know, I would apply the same standard to Judge Roberts that we applied to Judge Ginsburg and to Judge Breyer, the last two nominees who refused to answer those questions. And they were confirmed with over 90 votes.
All right. Well, Rick Santorum, Senator Rick Santorum, we thank you very much. The book is called It Takes a Family, Conservatism and the Common Good.
Thank you very much.